like to welcome everybody to a special Tishabov live share, which is joined by all the different venues to start today the Torah in the UK. We're very, very privileged that one of Torah's extremely popular speakers, the Pesach Kran Shlita, has made himself available to be mechazik of today. Just a small reminder to catch up on this share. On any previous sharing, just visit www.torahway.org.uk. And now over to a place of crime. Thank you very much.
I'm deeply grateful to my dear friend, Duri Yitzchowitz, for having invited me on this very, very special day to come to speak to all of you in the UK on Torah Way. I would like to take this opportunity as well to thank Ruth Collins. She makes the most beautiful Torah Way posters. I thank her every time I come to Torah Way, whether it's in Manchester or in London. I would like to thank and acknowledge the presence of Menachem David Zaltzman, the founder of Torah Way, which is one of the greatest organizations in Klal Yisrael. I wish that we could do Torah Way in so many, many different countries. It is such a schus and such a kiddush, shem shemayim. And finally, I would like to thank the technologist, the technician, I should say, Yaakov Nadler, for making sure that all of us are able to hear this morning. We have all come together today on the saddest day of the year. Some of us through audio, some of us through video, but we've all come together as one. And as I was preparing this talk, a certain thought occurred to me that I never thought about before. We know that when we bench Rosh Chodesh, the month of Av, we say that the month is called Menachem Av. Why is it called Menachem Av? The simple meaning is that we look forward that our Father, Avinu Shebashamayim, should console us, should give us the Chama in this month, which is the saddest month of the year. But it occurred to me a different shot, an additional shot. Perhaps the idea is that we are coming to be Menachem, our Father in heaven. And this sad day that we come together, our Father, Avinu Shebashamayim, is crying, so to speak, Kaviyochol, at the loss of his home, at the loss of his Beit HaMikdash, and we come as one to be Menachem, to comfort Hashem. And you know, there's a fascinating pasuk and a fascinating Orach Chaim in Parshas Vayetze. We all remember the story when Yaakov Avinu heard that his son is missing, and he thought that his son Yosef, his beloved son, was dead. And the Pasuk in Bereishis Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Hei, tells us, Vayakumu kol bonov v'chol benoysov l'nachmoy. That his children, his sons and his daughters, they came to him to comfort him. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, you could look it up, he says something amazing. Lo'yhuskar kan divrei nechoma. It doesn't say what they said. It just says that they came there. And he says, L'zeh nishak malatzei dover. They were very wise in what they did. They just came there to be with him. They didn't have to say anything. The mere fact that they gathered together in his presence was the greatest nechama for this father, for this Yaakov, who had lost, he felt so much. And the mere fact that his children gathered together, that alone was the greatest nechama. And so today in the UK, we gather in so many cities and towns, in so many different places and venues. We gather together to stand and to sit in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a sense, as we cry today, that is the greatest nichum to Avinu Shebashamayim. And maybe that's why it's called Menachem Av. You know, many years ago in 1967 during the Six-Day War, when Klal Yisrael was able to get the Kosel, the soldiers ran to the Kaisel, and many of them were crying. And there was one non-Frum soldier who was standing in the back, and he was also crying. And another soldier saw him crying. He realized he's not religious, so he said to him in Hebrew, "Lama ta bocheh? Why are you crying?" And he said, "Ani bocheh al ma shani lo bocheh. I'm crying because I don't know what there is to cry about." And that's the question that we have to ask ourselves today on Tisha B'Av. Al eila ani bochia. Why are we crying? What is there to cry about? What is the loss? And what must we do to hopefully regain that loss and bring back the Beis HaMikdash? And Rabban Kotler writes something amazing in the Mishnas Rabbaran. And he refers us to a Tosfos. The Tosfos is in Bava Basra, Daf Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph. And the Tosfos is on Kimitziyayin Teitzei Seira. And the Tosfos tells us something very interesting. What does it mean that the Torah came from Tziyayin? He says, Lefi Shaya Roya Kedusha Gedoyla, that the Yidden, when they would come to the Beit HaMikdash, they would see that the Kohanim were Oiskim B'Avoida, and they were so inspired by the diligence and the enthusiasm and the Kedusha of the work of the Kohanim, that they were Machavim Liba Yoyse L'Yir HaShemayim V'Lu Moitaira. It brought them to a greater level of Yir HaShemayim and Limud HaTorah. V'hayaroya shekulam oizkim b'malecha shemayim v'avoida. They saw how the Kohanim were involved in the avoida, malecha shemayim, and that inspired them. And then Tosfos goes on to tell us, and Rab Aaron writes as well. He quotes this. Rab Aaron says, V'yodua, misheroa es agro, anybody who came to the shul of the Vilna Gaon and would see him learn, he was mischazek ma'oi blu ma'itayra. That encouraged the person who saw the Gaon, and it encouraged him for years, and he would learn Torah in a much better way. And the same thing he writes, when people would come to the shul of the Vilna Gaon to watch him daven, and the shul of the Arizal, and the shul of the Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, they would see how they davened, and it would affect them for years. And listen to the key expression that Rav Aaron writes: "Hareze ha'odam atzmai migdash ma'at." Every person can be the migdash ma'at. The Vilna Gaon was a migdash ma'at. The Arizal was a migdash ma'at. Rav Nosson Adler was a migdash ma'at. And I'm telling you that every single one of us that is listening or watching today, every one of us can become a Migdash Ma'at, a Beis HaMikdash that could inspire others. Because it wasn't just the building that inspired Klal Yisrael when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. That's what Tosfos is telling us. It was the people that were there, the Kohanim, and they inspired by their work and their Avodah. And I want to tell you something fascinating. If you take a look at the Malbim in Parshas Truma, he says something amazing. It says, you should make for me a Migdash and I will dwell in them, both the first Beit HaMikdash and the second Beit HaMikdash. And then in the next Pasuk, in Pasuk Tes, it tells us, V'chein tasu, and so shall you do it. And the Malbim asked, it already said in the previous Pasuk, V'osuli Migdash, you should make for me a Migdash. Why does it say again, V'chein tasu, and so you shall do it? And he says, Shekol echad yivne loy Migdash v'chadre levovoy. That V'chein tasu is teaching us every person should build a Mokai Migdash in the chambers of his heart. And that should be a dwelling place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he goes on to explain that the body parts of a human being that we all have, every part is connected and attached in a sense and is similar to parts in the Beit HaMikdash. For example, your head is like the Aron. Why? Because your head has the brain and the Seichel. And the Orein had the Shnei Luchos, which represented all of Torah, which is the Seichel of Klal Yisrael. So your head is like the Orein Kodesh. Your heart, we cannot exist without a heart, and a person cannot exist without bread. So the heart is the Lechem Haponim. So your head is the Orein Kodesh. Your heart is the Lechem Haponim. And the Mizbeach is the stomach. Just like the Mizbeach consumed the Karbonais, the same thing, that is what happened with the stomach. That's what happens with the stomach. It consumes the food. So imagine if every one of us would consider that we are a walking, talking Beis HaMikdash. The head is the Orein. The heart is the Lechem Haponim. Your stomach is the Mizbeach. Of course, then we would act and talk and be different. And that's what the goal is today. I believe that if we can fix the Mikdash within ourselves, then we can be Zoicha to see the ultimate Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt. And so I want to tell you a story that happened a little while ago here in the United States. And we will see a family that became a walking, talking Beis HaMikdash. This story was told to me by the lady to whom it happened. Her name is Revitin Devora Monk. Her husband, Rabbi Yankov, never passed away a number of years ago. They have moved from Brooklyn to Lakewood. A few months after they were in Lakewood, he passed away. This is 5 years ago. He was the brother, by the way, to Amelie Jacobowitz, so there was an English attachment to this story. So now Mrs. Devora Monk told me that she realized that she was going to have to spend the Seder alone this year because people didn't want to get together. There was social distancing. Her children, grandchildren didn't want to cause chas v'shalom that she should be ill. And of course, many, many, many women, many almanas nebuch were alone this past Yontif on Pesach. They had to make the Seder alone. Now, she has a family that lives next door to her. The family doesn't want I should mention the name, so of course I have to respect that. But they realized that Mrs. Monk, Revitin Monk, was going to be alone for the Seder. So what they did was they said, look, we know that you have a window in your dining room. Why don't you bring the table, your table, right next to the window? And we have in another room, not our dining room, but we will move our table into another room that has a window that faces your window. And we will then make our Seder, and we will speak out loud, and you will be able to hear us. And like this, we could have the Seder together. She thought that was an amazing idea. But you know what to me is amazing, besides everything else of the story, as you'll see in a moment, is that they practiced it, Shabbos HaGadol. In other words, they wanted to be sure that it was going to work. So Shabbos HaGadol, the father of that home with his children and his wife and children, they sat in that other room, which was not the dining room where the window was, and they made Kiddush and Amotzi and everything. And Mrs. Monk was able to hear everything, and they realized that the Seder would work. Now listen to this. They had the Siddurim, and during the Seder, Miss Revitin Monk told me she was amazed. She did not realize that that family, all the years, sang the same songs that she sang. Now, she and her husband and her family, they're from German background, so they have different Nigunim that they sang. And she couldn't believe it. How did she didn't know that they know those songs, and that's what they sing at the Siddurim. So after Yontif, when she spoke to her son Yehuda, she said to him, you know, the Seder was so amazing, and not only that, you know, I had no idea they have our Minhagim. At the end of the Seder, they sang Yigdal and Adonai Lam and Ein Kelokeinu, and Yehuda smiled. And his mother asked him, why? What's funny? She said, I'll tell you what happened. You see, before Yontif, that family called me. And they said, teach us the Nigunim that your father, Ovi Shalom, used to sing at the Seder. We are going to learn those Nigunim. Put it on a voice recorder. We will learn them, and that's what we will sing. And they practiced those Nigunim before Yontif so that they could sing them so Mrs. Monk would be able to feel comfortable. That's a walking, talking Beis HaMikdash. That's incredible. Anybody who hears that story, says me to Amcha Yisrael. I want to tell you another story about somebody that was a walking, talking Beis HaMikdash. Just a few miles from where I live here in Kew Garden, there's a neighborhood called South Ozone Park. At one time, many years ago, there was a Choshev HaRov, Rav Menachem Per, Zecher Tzadik L'Vrocha, who was the Rav in a shul there, and he had many, many people in the shul, religious and non-religious. And he tried very, very hard to be makarev everyone, obviously the religious and the non-religious. And he taught them Torah, and he taught them all the halachas and everything. He would go around to the non-religious Jewish stores, Erev Shabbos, and tell them when candle lighting was, and he would tell them again also about the importance of closing on Shabbos. Now, as the neighborhood got older, the neighborhood changed. The young people moved out. The only people that remained were the elderly people. And slowly they were dying out, but Rav Menachem Per would not leave that neighborhood as long as there was even one person davening in his shul. Now, when he got older, he said to his son, Rav Yechiel, who today is a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Far Rockaway, and he said to him like this, listen, I want to be buried in the Beth David plot in Elmont, New York. That's the plot of our shul. And he said, but Tata, why? We have a place for you in Reim Ahuvim. Reim Ahuvim is a place where many Talmid HaChomim are buried. It's specifically for leaders, community leaders, and Talmid HaChomim. You have a plot there. And he said, no, no, no. I've changed my mind. He said, and I'll tell you what. He said, I know that many of the children that were in my shul were not religious, but I tried to teach them about Torah and Kashrut and Shabbos. And I know that when they come to their parents at their gravesite, that's a very emotional moment. And if they come to their parents' gravesite, they will see my grave there as well. And maybe then, in that sensitive moment, they will think about something that I taught them about Shabbos, or kashrus, or davening. And that'll be ma'oyer, a spark of Yiddishkeit in them. So it's worth it for me to be buried there, even among those people in Elmont, rather to be with all the big Talmid Chachamim, because maybe I could still have hashpah on those children or grandchildren that come to visit their parents, and they'll remember what I taught them. That's a walking, talking Beis HaMikdash.
Kol Halashon.
And you know something? That's what Rav Moshe teaches. When we daven in Ava Rabba in the morning in Ava Salem, we say, and Rav Moshe asks, not every person is a Rebbe, not every person is a Mora. So what do you mean, Lilmoid Ulalame, to learn and to teach? Teretz is that every one of us can teach. Every one of us, by example, the way we daven, the way we give tzedakah, the way we learn, the way we talk to our spouse, the way we talk to our children, to our coworkers, we are role models. And every person can be a walking, talking Beis HaMikdash. And so I want to concentrate now for a moment on another aspect. Many of you today will learn the Gemara, and we all know the story of Kamsa bar Kamsa. And we know the story that Kamsa was the friend of the person making the party, and bar Kamsa, Barsha says Bar Kamsa was actually the son of Kamsa. Not everybody agrees with that, but it's interesting. Bar Kamsa was the enemy of the host. And Bar Kamsa somehow came to the party. By mistake, he was invited. And when the host saw him, he was going to throw him out. And Bar Kamsa was humiliated. He said, I'll pay for his share, for half the party, for the whole party. And he was sent out. He was embarrassed. The Chachamim should have stopped it, but they didn't. And what happened was he decided he's going to get even. And so he went to the emperor and he said, I want you to know that the Jews are rebelling against you. They're against you. And he said, what are you talking about? They love me. He said, no, you'll see. You bring a carbon and you'll see that they will not accept it. Give me the carbon, I'll bring it for you, and you'll see they won't accept it. He said, it's impossible. So now listen to what happens. The emperor gives him an animal, and Bar Kamsa does a terrible thing. And let's listen to the Lashon of the Gemara. In Gittin Nun Vov Amud Aleph, Shoda Bei Muma, he made a flaw, a mumah in it. B'niv Svasayim, some say it was in the upper lip. V'amalei, and some say, B'dayk Shev'ayin, in the whites of the eye. Now here's the key. Duchta, this was the place. The Lididon, by a yid, when a yid brings a carbon, if there's a nick in the lip or something, a flaw, a cut in the eye, that's a mum by us, or the Didu, but by them, lav mum, it's not a mum. So when the emperor would hear that there was a flaw, let's say in the eye or the lip, to him, that was nothing. They considered that okay. They only considered a mum if it was a broken hand, a broken leg in an animal, but not these small things. So, of course, he would expect that they should take that carbon, but they refused it. The Chachamim refused it. Because by us, that was a mum. By them, it's not. And I think that there's a deeper level here. Listen to this. By us, that's a mum. Our lips can be a mum. Our eyes can be a mum. If we have a flaw in the lips, in the way we speak, or in the eyes of what we look at, that by us is a flaw. By Goyim, it doesn't make a difference. They could say whatever they want. They could watch whatever they want. And if that's the case, I think that on this Tisha B'Av, when we are trying to rebuild the Migdash within ourselves, let us see what the Chavetz Chaim tells us. The Chavetz Chaim tells us in the Sefer Chodesh HaShmira that Shmiras HaLashon is not just not speaking Lashon Hara or Rechilas. It's all these things. Sheker, you're not allowed to lie. Not allowed to mock somebody, make fun of somebody else, say painful words, whether it's to a spouse or to a child or to a coworker. Not to embarrass anyone, not to be a balgaiva, not to cause machloikis, and not to become angry. These are all things that are a lack of Shemir HaLashon. And that's what we have to be careful. Because by us, the lips can be a flaw. By Goyim, it's not. And so I want to tell you a great story. It's not easy to listen to this story because it's so sad. But it passed for Tisha B'Av, and we are going to learn something amazing. There's a sefer that came out in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago. It was written by Rav Yankev Yisrael Pozen, and it's called Adaraba. Now listen to this. He writes there about a young boy. The kid was a teenage boy, 18, 19 years old, came from a wonderful family, and was a masmid in the yeshiva, and Nebuch, he got very, very sick. And when he got sick, they went from doctor to doctor, and everybody gave up hope. And he realized that he was dying. And one day, when he was in the hospital, he said to his father, Tata, he said, I know I'm dying. And when I die, he said, I don't want any hespedim. I only want my Rebbe of the ninth grade. Now, this kid was 19 years old already, so the ninth grade was quite a few years ago. He said, that's the only one that I want, that he should be masked with me, that he should give the eulogy. Nobody else. And the father said, let's call the kid Shammai. He said, Shammai, don't talk like that. You're going to get well, Mitzvah Hashem. You're going to be fine. Don't ever talk to me about these things again. Fine. He didn't bring it up. A few weeks later, the situation got very bad. And the son said to his father, Tata, I know you told me not to talk to you about it, but I want to tell you one more thing. I told you I don't want any hespedim except for the ninth grade Rebbe. Now, I know that he's going to be reluctant. And so, therefore, I have a piece of paper. I don't want you to read it. Just take this piece of paper and give it to him. And he will look at this piece of paper and he will understand why I want that he should give the hesped. And the father was crying, the son was crying, and a week or two later he passed away. Now, the afternoon that he passed away, they were planning the levaya for the next morning. He remembered what his son said, and now he had to go to the Rebbe. And he goes to the Rebbe's house, and when the Rebbe sees him at the door, he recognizes him. And he says, I'm so sorry to hear what happened. He said, please let me in, I have to talk to you. And he said, my son told me that he doesn't want anybody to give a hesped except you. And the Rebbe said, me? Why me? We haven't really kept up. I haven't been so friendly with him over the years. You know, he was in my class many years ago. My son said, he tells the Rebbe, I should give you this piece of paper. And the Rebbe opens up the piece of paper and he can't believe it. It's his handwriting. And he remembers what happened. When he was the Rebbe in the ninth grade, he had just become a Rebbe. He was a new Rebbe. And the class was very, very difficult. The children were bullying each other and getting into arguments with each other and getting angry at each other. And the class was a Bahola. and he didn't know what in the world to do. How could he teach this class? I tell him the father, and then I came up with an idea. There were 20 boys in the class. And one morning I came in and I said to the boys, I have 20 pieces of paper. The name of each boy is on a piece of paper. I'm going to give out these pieces of paper to every boy in the class. I want you to write something about the boy whose name is on top of the paper. Write up something good about him, something, a nice characteristic about him, and something that you think that he could become when he gets older. And over the next couple of days, that's what he did. He gave every boy in the class those 20 pieces of paper, and everybody had to write a compliment about the child, about that other person that was on top of the paper, and what they thought he could become. And then he gave out the pieces of paper to every child. And every child, including this boy Shammai, they realized, oh my goodness, this is what the boys in the class think of me. I really am special. They are really nice boys. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe said, everybody got together. And they learned well. And they got along well. And he says to the father, you know, a couple years later, your son came over to me. He met me once in the street. Then he said to me, I want you to know that paper changed my life. Because I had a different attitude about myself and about others when I had that. And then, of course, the next morning he gave the Hefset. And, you know, during the Shiva, when some of the classmates came, they all took out that piece of paper that they also were carrying for many, many years. Because that brought the closeness. That's what you see when words can build. And that's why the Sefer is called Adarabba. Because that's what the Rebbe Rabbi Elimelech told us. Adarabba. Tein bi l'bein aluris ma'ilos chavareinu v'loi chasreinu. And that's what we, on this Tisha B'Av, we have to undertake. We know that Chazal teach us that very sad Gemara in Yuma, Taftes Amud Beis, that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. We have to make Avas Chinam. How do we do that? By looking for the good in others. And that's what the Rebbe did. And if we can do that, we build people. I heard that Rav Moshe Shapiro said that the word Chorov, which is destruction, is the same letters as Chover, a friend. Because a chover and chibur build. We have to build each other, not destroy each other. And I want to finish with that Gemara. You know what? The eye, the flaw of the eye. I don't have to tell you today what you could look at in technology. But nebuch, there's so much awful, so many awful things that a person can watch today. We have to be careful with that. And I think that what it could even be worse is the amount of time that people spend on phones and on computers with video games and notifications and apps and chats and all these things. That's all with the eye. Do you know that people spend 4 hours a day on those phones? Do you know that people from the age of 24 to 39, they're called the millennials, They check their phones 150 times a day. The average person checks his phone 52 times a day. And that's the flaw of the eye. So we spoke about the flaw of the mouth and the flaw of the eye, not only the terrible things that can be seen that we have to be careful with, but also, of course, the time that we spend with our eyes on the phones, on the videos, on the games, and all these things that take up so much time throughout the day. I just want to tell you about one more thing, and then we'll end with a fabulous, fabulous medrash. We know that the Pasuk tells us in Yeshaya Aleph Pasuk Chof Zayin, Tzion b'mishpat tipoda v'shaver b'tzdaka. Tzion, how will it be redeemed? It will be redeemed one of the ways they'll come back by giving tzdaka. We have to start giving tzdaka. And you know, many of us that are not davening in shuls these days, when you get a chance to give tzedakah. So if you get a chance, go on this organization, dailygiving.org. Dailygiving.org, you will not believe it. You can give them money, and every single day, $1 a day. You give them $1 a day, they'll take it out of your bank, you'll tell them how to do it. And you could do it either for a month or you could do it for a year. And they give out thousands and thousands of dollars you go on dailygiving.org, you'll understand how they do it. Today, since they started, and I've been involved in it right from the beginning, since the beginning of 2019, they have 3,100 people who have donated $1 a day, and they give $3,100 to different organizations. Organizations that you know, Bonei Olam and Torah Anytime and Misaskim and Esha Teira. Go on dailygiving.org and you'll see how no matter where you are, you get that mitzvah of tzedakah every single day. I just want to end with this fascinating medrash. I know it's 9 o'clock and usually Torah Way is extremely prompt, but Dudy told me that I can have 1 or 2 extra minutes. And so listen to this medrash. You will never, ever forget how Chazal learned this medrash. The Pasuk tells us in Vayetze, when Yaakov goes to the shepherds, and that's the first time that he meets Rachel. Let's read the Pasuk in Bereishis Choftes, Pasuk Dalet Hei Invog. Vayevel Lehem Yaakov says to them, Achem Me'ayin Atem, my brothers, where are you guys from? Vayevel, they said, Oh, Mechoron Anachno, we're from Choron. Vayevel Lehem, and he says to them, Hayedatem Es Lovon, Zanocha, do you know Lovon? Yeah, we know Lavan. Yaakov said to them, is there peace with him? Yeah, he's okay. And now, here comes Rachel, she's coming with the sheep. That's a simple shot. Watch how the Medrash Rabba Bereishis Ayin Oisyut teaches us what's going on here. Yaakov is talking to Klal Yisrael. And he says, hi, my brothers, Me'ayin Atem, where are you guys from? I see you're in Canada. I see you're in England. I see you're in America. You're in Switzerland. You're in old Chile and Argentina and France. You're all over the world. How come you guys are so spread out? My brothers, Me'ayin Atem, where are you from? They say, Me'chonon Anachnu. We're from the Haroin. We're from the anger of Hashem. Hashem is angry at us. And that's why he spread us out all over the world. He sent us out of Eretz Yisrael. That's why we're so spread out. So Vayemel Lehem, he says to them, Hayikatem Es Lavan? Don't you know Lavan? The Pasuk says, Imyu Chataeichem Kashanim Kashelev Yalbidu. Your sins can be made white. You could do tshuva. Do you realize that you could do tshuva and that you'll all be able to come back to Eretz Yisrael? Vayemel Yadonu. And they say, yeah, we know that we can do tshuva. And it would happen. Vayemel Lehem HaShalom Loi. He says, are you ever going to make peace with Hashem? Are you going to do tshuva? And they said, yeah. But Yehudah Shalom, they said, yeah. And in what's chus? V'hinei Rachel b'itoi boi matzayim. Rachel's coming. And that's the psukim that we know in Yiriyah. The Eidish says, Ko barom l'ishma. I hear a voice on high. Nehi b'chi tamrurim abitra yibayim. Rachel b'vaka abunel. Rachel is crying on her children, she cannot be consoled because they are not in Eretz Yisrael. Hold back your voice from crying. Why? Because of what you did. You were a giving person. You gave the simonim to your sister. And that's chus. V'shavu bonim l'gvulam. There is hope. V'yesh tikvah l'achuzech. There is hope, no Hashem. V'shavu bonim l'gvulam. They're going to come back. We have to be like Rachel. We have to be like giving people. We have to give of our ashpa, of our Torah, of our Yerushalayim. We have to give of our time, our money, our tzedakah. We have to give of our heart. We have to give kind words, to build words. Adarabba, tein b'lebeinu l'rish, milas chavireinu v'loy chatsreinu. I'll just close with what one of your great countrymen, Shnabar Rafur Shlema, the Matisho Solomon, Stark said recently. He said, you know, after World War II, Klal Yisrael had to look inward. They had to look at their communities. They had to build them. They had to look at their shuls and schools and had to build them. And they spent many years doing that. That was inward. And then we looked outward. The Baal Tshuva movement, they reached out all over the world, hundreds of thousands of Baal Tshuva. So first we looked inward, and then we looked outward in the Baal Tshuva movement. And now we have to look upward. We have to look to Hashem with tshuva, with tefillah, Torah, and Yerushalayim. And then if we look upward, like the Gemara tells us, hopefully we'll be able to see that the third Beis HaMikdash comes down from Shemayim. will come to the Makom HaMikdash. Again, I can't thank Torah Way enough. Torah Way is such a great organization, daily Torah every single day throughout the UK. And David should help, it should spread all over. Other people should be able to pick up this idea from this great idea that Rav Nachum David Chalsman started in Manchester. I thank you again, Duri Yitzkowitz, for helping. And Mr. Nadler, thank you for the technology involved. And David should help that we should all build the Mikdash within ourselves to be zeicha to see the ultimate Mikdash. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.